Anti-domestic violence campaigners have expressed alarm at yet another inquiry into the family law system. A joint parliamentary committee will spend the next 12 months examining a range of issues, including the timeliness of custody disputes, the financial costs to families, and the onus of proof required to obtain apprehended violence orders. Angela Lynch from the Queensland Women's Legal Service says the inquiry is flawed and could cost lives.
Parliamentarians and politicians are not experts in domestic violence. And once again, we have to ask our clients and survivors of domestic violence to come forward again and tell their stories after multiple inquiries have found that the system fails them.
That's women's legal advocate Amanda Lynch. One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has been a driving force behind the inquiry, and she's with me in our Parliament House studio this morning. Good morning to you, Senator Hanson.
Good morning, Hamish.
Can I confirm, will you be the co-chair of this inquiry?
The Prime Minister has announced that this morning. I'm very pleased to say yes, I will be the co-chair.
And what does being the co-chair mean for you? What ability will that give you?
Well, with the co-chair, if the chair isn't there, well, then I will lead the inquiry. But I'm sure that Kevin Andrews will be there during this whole inquiry. It's having an input into it, no more or no less than all the other members of parliament who will be involved in this. And 10 members of parliament from both houses, the House of Reps and the Senate, will be involved in this inquiry. I'd like to see us work together, put our political differences to one side and start working for the Australian people in this inquiry and hear the broad spectrum of issues that comes down to family law.
There was a parliamentary inquiry into the Family Court barely 2 years ago, and also the Law Reform Commission has recently undertaken its own review. Why do we need another one?
This is a holistic inquiry which will take in about the court system, about the legal practices, the costs, child protection, about 50-50 custody, domestic violence orders. So it's a holistic review. If you look at the Australian law reform, that was about the court procedures, about family law itself. If you look at the KPMG, that was about costs, and the simple review was about the court structure. So this is a holistic review. The ALRC, their recommendation, one of them was no longer 50-50 custody. I think that's unfair and unjust to those parents out there. Let's listen to what the parents have to say. Those parents who are denied access to the children, those parents have gone for years without being able to see their children. I think that is so wrong.
What is it that you want in terms of the split of parental custody with regards to men and women?
I think that if you can be joint custody of the children prior to separation, why shouldn't you afterwards? Unless there is drug and alcohol abuse, criminal offence or domestic violence order prior to separation. I'm hearing of too many cases where children, or parents I should say, are using domestic violence to stop the other parent from seeing their children. Perjury is in our system, but they're not charged with perjury.
You're saying these are false claims of domestic violence?
Most definitely, yes.
And what evidence do you have of that?
Of cases. And actually, from my own personal experience, I've seen what happened with my son. So I know there was, and charges weren't laid, and actually they were dropped. Yet he had to go through the procedure of other courts. So it's not personally about my son. I know this from other cases, and there was no real proof put onto it, but it's made in the judge's decision. You know, these domestic violence orders can be as little as sending text messages saying that you want to actually see your child. How is a child? That's classified as domestic violence. Domestic violence is not all about physical violence. So if the person says they are in fear or saying that they've turned up my doorstep and tried to bash down my door, which never was the case, and they're miles away or at work, this is happening all the time. And clients are using it, or those people are using these threats or these domestic violence orders in to support their case why that parent shouldn't see the children. I think this is so wrong.
Can I just ask you, though, you're saying effectively that mothers are going into the family court and making up accusations of domestic violence.
How
widespread do you have any evidence of that being widespread?
I have submissions from people that this is the case. So it is, you know, if you're going to turn a blind eye to this, this is why we're having the inquiry, Hamish, all right?
But I just
can
want
tell
some
you
specifics.
About these stories, all right?
We've all heard the story that you just gave us of your son and understand that. But do you have any other actual specific evidence of this?
Yes, I do. Other cases. No, I'm not discussing this. This is what the inquiry is about. So this is why I have pushed for this, to give people out there a fair go. I don't want to see domestic violence at all.
Do you have a number in terms of how many of these instances?
Let me just say that this comes across our desk on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis sometimes, of people phoning up, how unjust the system is. Why do you think we've got three men suiciding a day and we've got one woman being murdered a week? Don't you believe that this needs to be addressed? Isn't there enough concern out there? You know, I'm sick of these self-interest groups who are pushing their own agenda. Fair enough. But let's look at a holistic view. I am concerned deeply about these men who are suiciding, or those ones out there, and I'm begging them, if you're listening to this, please don't take your life. Give us a chance, and my other colleagues here, to listen to your cases. Give us a chance to actually make change or recommendations that we now, as legislators in this place, can try and make a difference to the future generations. And to those children who are not seeing both parents, they have a right to see both parents. No parent has the right to stop the other parent, if they're a good parent, from seeing their children.
One woman gets killed every week at the hands of a partner or a former partner. I think you acknowledged that.
Yes.
I mean, clearly, we cannot lose sight of that.
And that is exactly what I'm saying. And we cannot lose sight of the fact that we have met three men suiciding today. So it's on both sides of the factor. I'm sick of hearing about this gender basis. You get rid of the gender and you treat everyone equally on an individual case. All cases are not the same when it deals with family law. They're all different. Can we actually satisfy everyone's needs? No, we can't. But what we must work towards is what is a fair outcome with this. So we can try and give people a closure to their divorce or their separation, that they have connection with their children. Isn't this, at the end of the day, about the children? Aren't we concerned about the children?
Sure, forgive me for interrupting. But, I mean, the statistics do show that most violent perpetrators are men. So this is not about looking at one side of the gender divide or the other. I mean, we do have to deal with facts, don't we?
Hamish, you know, there's a lot of men also that go through domestic violence. Yes, most of it is on women. But like I said, a lot of it's not physical violence. It's domestic violence in other ways. But are we going to
point the finger? Are you saying that's comparable?
Hamish, are we going to keep pointing the finger at whether you're male or female on the soul factor? Do you acknowledge that there is a breakdown in our family law, that something needs to be done about it?
But the statistics are clear that most of the violence is perpetrated by men. Do you want us to ignore that?
So this is all part of the inquiry. Everything needs to be on the table to give everyone an opportunity to speak about this. You know, it's not working. Don't you understand that? There are people that are suiciding, there are people being murdered, and because there's a breakdown of the system, because it's not working. So if I'm actually going to be upfront and say what I want to be looked at, that if people make false allegations, you're going to be held responsible for it. You don't take your lies into that courtroom so that you'll gain in the system of possibly more time with your children. That's not the way it works. And I'm a mother of four, but I never denied my ex-husbands from having time with their children. So
Senator,
this is what it's about, a fair outcome and a just outcome for all parents.
I think we can all hear the strength of your feeling in relation to these matters. I'm curious to know how much your own personal family encounters with the family courts are shaping your views here.
No, I've been listening to the people since 1996. So I've been listening. It's the biggest thing that comes across our desks and is family law. And of course, domestic violence has increased over that period of time since 1996. And I've been trying to listen to people. When people pull me up and you know they're on the brink of possibly thinking about taking their own lives, you know what that does to me? How that tears me apart? And they're expecting, you know, and they're saying, please do something. Or I've got parents, grandparents saying, we don't see our grandchildren. We miss them. And they're denied that right as well. Don't we want to find the answers to this? Are you just going to pinpoint one issue, one area, because people have complained about it because of the impact it's having? Yes, it is. On our society, right across the board, not only mums and dads and grandparents and extended families, but the children as well. I haven't got all the answers for it, but I'm not going to be shut down from speaking about a topic or an issue because it may offend some people or upset people. But the whole fact needs to be looked at holistically, and that's what I want this inquiry to cover.
A detail I do need to ask you about. The Law Council of Australia is asking the Morrison government not to proceed with a proposed merger of the family and federal circuit courts. The Law Council President Arthur Moses says he's troubled the coalition's pushing ahead with that merger whilst holding the inquiry. In your view, should the government hold off on that merger until this process is complete?
I saw the ALRC's recommendations with regards to that. I was involved in that inquiry into the merger of the two courts. The government has to have support of all people, you know, the parties that are involved in this. And looking at the recommendations, they haven't got the support of many of the parties. So they're going to have trouble getting that passed in the parliament. That does need further investigation into the merger, and I understand the concerns that Mr. Moses has over the merger of the two courts. I have my concerns with it as well, and I've stated that to the government.
Just before I move on, we do need to move on, but I think I do need to ask you before we finish this, what sort of message are you sending to women who may be experiencing domestic violence by saying the sorts of stuff that you have said this morning about, well, you've got to balance it. You've got to look at the other issues. You shouldn't just focus on the statistics around male violence in the home.
I'm sending out a clear message to everyone that domestic violence orders have got completely out of hand. Each state, they're different in their laws with reference to domestic violence.
But coming on radio and talking about this broad brush statement saying that women are making up domestic violence accusations in the courts, what sort of message do you send to the many women that are being abused in their homes?
Well, I'll say to those women, I'm not saying anything about those women who are legitimately being domestic violence against them physical, but I'm saying to those women out there, don't throw domestic violence orders against your ex-partners just to further your case or get control of the children. That's not fair or right. And when you actually go out and you accuse your ex-partner of sexual molestation of that child, which is untrue, which they are using, and I've heard that from even lawyers, that its case has been used like that, instances, or stalking. That, you know, these things are not true. What we have to find, there are people out there who are nothing but liars and will use that in the court system. You can't defend these people, and I will not defend them, but I'm looking for what is fair and just. What do you say to the fathers or even women out there who are faced with domestic violence orders against them?
You have not given us any evidence, though. I mean, other than the case of your own son, I've asked you multiple times for specific evidence of this stuff, and all you've said is, I won't give that to you.
Hamish, this is going to be the people of Australia to have their voice and say it on record in Hansard. That can be said in this inquiry. I'm not going to raise names and I'm going to raise issues. I can tell you about different cases and instances. Are you going to believe what I say? No, leave it up to the people to have their say. Right. When it's done at the inquiry, before the committee, the inquiry, that it's put on Hansard that these instances are happening. Maybe you should talk to some of these men's groups and organisations who will back it up because they are feeling the effects of it. So don't shut me down because I dare speak about this like many issues.
This is teasing out the detail.
You are. You are actually saying, you know, I'm a female and I'm not going to use my gender and I'm not against the male and I'm not against the female. I'm looking for the answers, and at the end of the day, I want to see the children have access to both parents to see them. And you only ever have one mum and one dad, and these people need to move on with their lives, get over the hate, the pain of a breakup. It's about working together to find the answers to all this, and that's my job now as a Member of Parliament in this inquiry that I have pushed for.
Senator Hanson, we appreciate you coming on the program this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Pauline Hanson, of course, if this story raises any concerns for you, I should stress that the number for Lifeline is 13 11 14.